Hey everyone, welcome to Thomas and the Bible episode number 43. And yeah, we are on Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I think I'll just do all my little things now and say please do a review on iTunes. I've seen a couple more there and I really appreciate it. And just trying to get, you know, get myself out there more. And the more positive reviews, the more it'll show up in iTunes. So that helps. So thanks to everyone who has. And if you haven't, please do so. I'd really appreciate it. And, screw it. Let's just get going. This is still reading the Bible, unfortunately. I know probably a lot of you are hoping I'd start like a different book or something, or just, I don't know, start reading some some Tolkien or something. I don't, anything. But no, we're still on the boring Deuteronomy, boring Bible, where Moses is just sort of, you know, rehashing everything that's happened, which is unfortunate because it's not very funny. It's just boring. But it seems like we're getting toward the end of that. So without further ado, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. God's a big fan of the underdog, apparently. That's why he chose them, the Israelites. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Thank you for clarifying what marriages are and which possibility there were within the genders. That's good. For they will turn away from thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, which aren't real, other fake gods. Not real gods, again. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. That all sounds reasonable. Or you could just have given these people that you're having us kill, just give them a better reason to believe in you. There's some reason that all the Israelites believe in you, so whatever, could you just do that, but for them. And then that way, they'll just want to get rid of all their idols. Because, I mean, I don't know why we have to kill them, because the Israelites are not any better. They made idols like 2 minutes after Moses left them one time. So just some thoughts for you to consider, God. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord. Why am I telling him this now, you ask me? Because God's all powerful. So I could give him this advice now, and he's timeless, and he could go back and change it. You know, he could go back and change his mind and not actually have done this. That's why I'm talking to God now, as if this hasn't happened yet. Because for God, he's timeless. He could just change it. It'd be fine. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. So this is interesting. It sounds like we might actually get some sort of explanation as to why they're the chosen people, so let's see. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. A little disappointing. So he didn't choose them because they are deserving, he says. He chose them because he loves them and promised their fathers. So I guess the natural question would be, why does he love them more than other people exactly? I mean, I understand God loves everybody, that's cool, but he's choosing them specifically why? Or why did he choose their father? Seems arbitrary. Seems kind of weird to take a group of your people, a small group, and have and say, like, I choose you, and then have them kill other people. Doesn't, as far as gods go, that doesn't make sense for a god to do that. Just, no, doesn't make sense. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You never have to tell God, look, next time you're going to repayeth me, repayeth to my face. No, no. You never have to tell God that. He will repayeth you to your face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. And I like this. He's pretty much saying, do these commandments because God is rewarding to those who love him and a giant pain in the ass to those who don't. And he's saying that, Moses is saying that, rather than... I think it would be a sign of a higher intelligence level here if rather than give threats, he said, follow these commandments because... it will be the best thing for all humans to do, and we'll all get along, and we'll have greater cooperation and happiness, and it's good. They're just the right. They're good commandments. No, he doesn't say anything. This is, dude, you better do these things. I don't understand why the God ordered us to do these things, but you better do them because he gets mad if you don't. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware to his fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy loom, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine. Kine. I was looking for kind or kin, and I found kine. And that's actually what it says, K-I-N-E. I don't know what... Maybe that is the combination of those two words. And the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. These are pretty tall claims to make. I wonder if anyone ever checked up on these. Like, checked all the cattle, all the people, and like, yeah, we don't have a single barren person or cow. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. These promises are getting a little too large to be true. So I'm guessing either the people betrayed God at some point after this, or even if they didn't, since obviously they didn't get all these benefits, they probably just assumed that they didn't live up to their end or something. I'm sure we'll find out later that that's what they did. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord God deliver thee. Oh, have to eat all the people. Oh, consume. No, that means eat. I think they have to eat all the people. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods. Fake gods. Fake. They're fake gods. For that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember that the Lord, what the Lord did. But shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. And I'm always confused by the fact that earlier it said that God essentially killed everyone who originally left Egypt because he didn't like them, except like one guy. Because now God is saying that their eyes saw what he did in Egypt, but I don't really think that's true because they are dead. So, I don't... This whole book feels like a Quentin Tarantino adaptation where everything's all, like, out of time, and you got Vincent Vega dying, like, before he's in the scene with Uma Thurman and all that. That kind of thing. I don't... What is the point of that? Why does it have to be so crazy and time warpy? I don't get it. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Or just get some stings and are rather annoyed. That one of those two things. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Cool. So whenever I say to someone, man, your God is terrible, and they get offended, I can just point to this passage in their book where God says himself that he's terrible. And I know it's probably a different meaning, but yeah, whatever, details. It's cool to have textual support for God being terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. That's very, very, wow, I just searched for a word and lost it. What's that obvious word I'm looking for? That's very sensible advice, duh. never consume an entire people at once, everyone out there. Because, for one thing, heartburn, and for another, the beasts of their fields will increase upon you somehow. I don't know. I guess that means it's just too much to manage. So you need to kill them little by little and have the survivors tend their beasts as you slowly kill them so that it'll be a more manageable situation. It's very, very sensible advice. And he shall deliver... But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And that's not redundant at all. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. That's the end of that chapter. What kind of people need to be told not to bring an abomination into their house? I just like that sense. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. Like, no, Timmy, do not bring that abomination into this house. You keep, take that outside, mister. Keep your abominations outside, please. I just picture some, like, awful monster, like some zombie thing that's just, like, just totally, like, gonna eat everybody. Hey, outside, outside. Keep it outside. Chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Oh, okay. That's fine. That ye may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Well, if he swore it... There's that yawn every single time. It doesn't matter how much crack I have just... snort it? I don't know. I don't know anything about drugs. But how much speed I've eaten, drank, I don't know, something. It doesn't matter if I just had a bunch of coffee or currently drinking coffee. It doesn't matter what time of the day I do this podcast. It just does not matter. Completely irrespective of all that, I will yawn during this reading the Bible. It's some holy God miracle. Or more likely just some completely natural phenomenon based on how freaking boring this stupid book is. One of those two things. Every time. It happens every time. I really don't plan that. It's just like I'm reading and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and I just yawn. Anyway, moving on from that. I don't remember what I was saying. Let me live in multiple places. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That because I didn't write this down. This was all off the cuff. So sorry, I lost my train of thought. He promised he swore the land unto their fathers. So like, I guess he sort of fell through on that, didn't he?
I mean, if I were one of their fathers and the Lord was like, I swear to you, you are going to get this land. And then it comes time to where you're like 80 or something or 70 or however old people live back then. And you're like, God, you know, I noticed we still don't have that land you promised us. But it's been, oof, man, what, 50 years now? It's been a while. We'll say that. It's been a while. And God's like, oh, well, you know, I didn't get around to it, but I'll just give it to your children. That's fine. They must have felt a little bit cheated, I'm thinking. Like, yeah, that's good. You know, you could have let us know. Because this whole time we were waiting for that land that you swear unto us. Like, we were thinking, maybe, you know, we'd get some part of that. I mean, I'm happy that it's that for my kids and all. For most of them. I hate some of them, but most of them. But, yeah, just next time when you're making covenants with people, just why don't you go ahead and let us know that we're not actually getting the land and that our kids are going to get it. Because that's sort of a different thing to us humans. I'm not sure how it works with gods, but when you promise me something and then you say, well, after you die, I'll give it to your child, not as good, I'll say. Just not quite the benefit that we thought we were getting from you is all. That's all. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Oh, that's why they were marching around for 40 years. They needed to be humbled. And to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. That's good. I feel like God could have just determined that without marching him for 40 years because he's God. But, you know, that's... Never mind. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He suffered thee to hunger. And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I'm having a little bit of trouble reading this today just because I was so sick of the last site I was using cutting off the words that I switched to a different one, but it's all bunched up together in like one paragraph, so it's sort of hard to like, my eyes skip lines sometimes, you know? So, sorry if I'm stuttering a bit. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Okay. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive, and that actually says oil olive, not olive oil. Oil olive. I think Don Corleone got his hands on that and changed it to olive oil. And honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack any thing in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, the guy I've been talking about for about an hour now. I meant 20 years. Beware that thou not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. And people, all right. At a certain point, people, Moses, if you haven't convinced them yet, I don't think you're going to get them. I just want to tell Moses at this point, like lap number 2000, around the keep the covenant and commandments and all that crap around that track is not doing a whole lot more than lap 1999 did. I think, like, I don't think there are a whole lot of people who were on the fence up until that point, who are still there, you know, who are like sitting there listening to Moses the entire time Like, I don't know if I should keep those statutes. And then finally, like, number 2000, he repeats himself, like, keep these statutes. And they're like, you know, all right, you got me. I don't know why I was hesitating until now, but it really took that 2000th time of being told the same exact thing over and over. It really took that to really see. And now I get it. Now I get it. I don't think there's anybody who was like that. So, yeah. Lap 2000 is probably doing less than lap 1999, I'm thinking. Now people are probably just getting really irritated with him. At least I am. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, which he could have just said first and avoided the rest of all those things he listed, then thine heart must be lifted up. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. There was no water and drought? Wow, that's like insult to injury right there. Now it's hard to find my spot when I leave it. There's no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which I've mentioned before, which thy fathers knew not, the fact I also mentioned before, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. So Moses is all speaking this entire time in a voice of someone who's forgetting God. And, I thought I had a note, but no, I didn't. What the hell chapter am I even on? Wait, yeah. Oh, no, I did have a note. My note was, looks like he's still going strong into lap 2001, A Space Odyssey. He's rounded the home stretch on lap 2000. He's not even showing any signs of slowing. He's not, the checkered flag is, I'm just mixing my metaphors, but the checkered flag is waving like he's won. They're like, okay, Moses, you got it. We get it. But he's like, he's actually accelerating and not slowing in the slightest. He's going to keep going. He's committed till he just drops dead, I think. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. What? Oh, what is that? Is a complete departure from what he was been talking about before. For it is he that hath given thee power to get wealth. He didn't give you wealth, but he gave you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I think I've said it before, but someone there has to have said, Moses, how could we possibly ever forget the Lord when the words never stop coming out of your mouth? It's a constant stream of remember the covenant, remember the covenant, remember the covenant, remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember, blah, 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 blah. Do we... At a certain point, you wonder if Moses even requires oxygen to live. He just talks the entire time. That's all he does. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God. What's this? Another message about not forgetting the Lord thy God? And walk after other gods and serve them. Other fake gods. They're not real. And worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. That's a pretty safe claim to make, seeing as how everyone perishes eventually. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And on to chapter 9. That was just as exciting as I thought it would be. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. That's that was very tall fences. A people great and tall. Well, naturally, they would be that tall if they require fences that tall. The children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest. You know, the children, you know them. You know them. We've had several get-togethers where I invited both the children of the Anakims and you guys. And you're telling me you don't remember who they are. Well, I'll tell you what, they sure as shit remember who you are. So I think that's a little impolite to not remember them. Whom thou knowest. And whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Which I think is probably, they said it like, Anak. Just be really like, dwarfish. Understand, which is not right because he said they're tall, so antish. Just killing the Lord of the Rings references today. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so thou shalt drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Be efficient in your destruction of other people. It's a virtue. It's a virtue of the Lord. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of the nations of the... Okay, let me read this with proper emphasis. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, this is what you're not supposed to say. It's confusing. For my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. That's what you're not supposed to say. What you are supposed to say, I'm just breaking this down for you. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out before thee. So it's not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee, and that he may perform the world which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Wow, well, F you too, God, I guess, if you're, you know, going to just be like... That's interesting that he just tells his people, look, I'm going to give you all this land. It's not because you're good, because you guys are terrible. I hate you probably just as much, if not more, as everyone else. But the other people are so bad that you're the lesser of two horrible peoples, I think. So, I'll give you this land. That's fine. You can have it, I guess. I might change my mind because you guys are terrible too and find another group of people to give this land to. But until then, it's all yours. Remember, and forget not, which are two different things, apparently. Remember and forget not how thou provokedst the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also, and the Israelites once again must have said, God, again, that wasn't us, but that was our parents and our grandparents who rebelled against you, and you killed them. But now we're all of us down here in current times are starting to think that maybe, just maybe, our parents sort of had good reason to rebel against you, because you're not the best God to work with, I'll say. I mean, you're sort of just insulting, like slapping us in the face right now, repeatedly, and telling us to love you and remember you and all this stuff. Like, maybe we don't want to, you know? Maybe we have other gods to remember. Also, in Horeb, ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed ye. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor water. I ate shitloads of steak, but that's not the point. No bread or water. And the Lord delivered me unto me, via FedEx, two tables of stone written with the finger of God. I wonder what use God has for fingers. Like, why does he have... Why would he have fingers? Not sure what he would do with them exactly. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of the stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Oh, Jesus, this freaking repetition is getting ridiculous. At this point, I really wouldn't be surprised if Moses got to this to now in the story. Like, he's repeating himself right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he got to now and started saying, like, and that was when I told the entire story of how we got here, starting with our journey out of Egypt, which went as follows, and just kept repeating and just went in this infinite loop. I really wouldn't be surprised. This man must be stopped. He must be stopped. And I'm the one to do it. Let me alone that I may destroy them. Because Moses needs to leave God alone, apparently, for God to... Oh, don't hold me back, Moses. I'm gonna kill him and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. And I don't know if you guys remember, but this was one of my favorite parts, where God has had it with the Israelites, and he just wants to kill all of them. He's just like, oh, these people, they're terrible. And then Moses really went to bat for the people and talked God down. It was like, you know, God, they're not that bad. Plus, you'll be a laughingstock if you kill your own chosen people. You really will. And then God was like, oh, Moses, I guess you're right. So I turned and came down from the mount. And the mount burned with fire, because I lit it on fire. And the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Yeah, three yawns. I'm sorry, I can't even help it. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands. Again, he feels a need to clarify that. And break them before your eyes. Yeah, and Moses really sure made his point with that one. You know, breaking the Ten Commandments that were immediately replaced. I'm not sure what that did, really. But hey, he's Moses, he can do what he wants. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned, in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith... Oh, that sounds interesting. Wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it under the ground, it very small, even till it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. So, not really sure on the physics of all that, but apparently he just stamped that. He melted the golden calf and then he just stamped it to death until it was gone somehow. And at Taberah and at Massah and Kirbahatavata, ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and he believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been ridiculous against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Did I say ridiculous? Ye have been rebellious against the Lord
Same. I think I was thinking, like, this is ridiculous, and I read rebellious. That's how it goes. Sorry. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. And, I wonder why that would be. Why would they be rebellious? Why would God's own chosen people be rebellious? It could have been God's fault. No, not his fault. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed, therefore, unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out to say, because the Lord was not able to bring them unto the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them into the wilderness. Yet they are the people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by the mighty power and by this thy stretched out arm. Again, this was that's such an awesome part. And I just realized now, so Moses is telling God what to do. It's awesome. I love that. I just love that sentence. Moses is telling God right now, like, to calm down. But I just noticed, so God, I guess, is susceptible to just incredibly terrible arguments, which probably shouldn't be true. Because he said, like, okay, don't kill us. Otherwise, I'm going to try to sum up, and I'm going to try to say this correct. I'm not trying to, like, strawman this. Like, this is what Moses says. Don't kill everyone. Don't kill all the Israelites, because people will say, the Lord, this is what people say. They'll say, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. So, I'm not really understanding how that's a good argument. So, like, don't kill the Israelites, because then people will think you didn't like them. It's essentially the argument, and that you brought them out to slay them. So, if you're God and you're about to kill these people because you don't like them, why would you care if someone thinks you don't like them? Like, oh, you're right. I shouldn't do that, because then people think I didn't like them. That's why I shouldn't kill them. Not because he actually likes him, but because people would think that he didn't like him, which is important, even though he is about to kill everyone. And pretty awesome. It's pretty good argument right there. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee, this is chapter 10, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I'm wondering, why didn't God just fix the first ones that Moses broke? Is there some rule against doing that? Like, he says, Moses, why don't you make two more stone tablets, and you broke those ones, and come up to me, and I'll sign them again with my little commandments. Like, what? Why didn't God just perform a little miracle and be like, and you're all fixed, with some little sound effects and stuff, and they'd pop right back into Moses' arms, and they could have, in future crappy God movies, they could have just, like, God would, or Moses would throw him down, and then they could have just played the reverse video, and, like, they'd be back in his arms, and they'd go, oh my, holy crap, a miracle. I think he should have done that, because God has knowledge of crappy movies of the future, so he could have thought of that. And I made an ark of shittim wood, this is Moses saying this, and hewed two tables of, I keep skipping too far, hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And it was at this moment, everyone, my heart just sank, because I realized that Moses might possibly go through the ark stuff again, which I barely can even talk about the ark part. Can't even think about it. So I think, like, I was reading that part of my brain was already starting to form plans of just destroying myself and every Bible ever written. Not sure how you know, I was working on some things involving fire. That was as far as I got. But luckily, Moses didn't do that yet. Although, I don't issue any guarantees that he won't do it in the future. And he wrote on the tables according to their first writing. See, it's the same writing. Why didn't he just reanimate the first one? The Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself, and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark, which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth, of the children of Jachin, to Masorah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotbath, a land of rivers and waters. So remember that for Deuteronomy trivia later. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part, nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount, according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at this time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. What is Moses' obsession with 40 days and 40 nights? Is there some meaning to that? Also, why can't he just go ahead and start saying 40 days? I don't care. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how many nights it was, Moses. I don't care. I don't think if people heard you say, like, I stayed in the mount for 40 days, would they assume, like, at 7 p.m. of the 40th, you know, night that Moses was out of there and was like, oh, but it was only 39 nights. Also, who cares if it was the 40 days and 39 nights or something? Who cares? Is that not as good? I don't get it. Like, all the naysayers are like, yeah, sure, Moses, you stayed up there for 40 days. But every night you got to come down and what? Like sleep or something? Down from the mount? What? Who cares? Just say 40 days. It's fine. Would that make some difference? He still had to spend 40 boring-ass days up on the mount doing nothing. What does it matter if he spent 40 nights? Just stop. Just stop, Moses. It's a bad habit. Stop. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Oh, so actually, I guess 40 days and 40 nights is God's, like, cool-down period after he gets a hankering for murder. It takes a full 40 days for all of God's ram to flush after Moses reboots him when he starts wanting to murder all the Israelites. He's like, mew! Hard reboot there. And God wakes up 40 days later and is like, all right, what are we doing? Let's Israelites, cool. Okay, let's go. Let's do some stuff. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Oh my gosh, this... I gotta say, reading this verse for the first time, when I read it like 18 times ago, really almost made up for the last couple hours of just dull recapitulation. Like, the whole of Deuteronomy, up until this point, has been the setup for this awesome punchline. I'm pretty sure. Let me just reread that. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. And it goes on, gently massage the penis of your soul. I guess this is the one time where I see maybe Moses was not being literal. Unless there's a part of the heart I really have never heard of. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. This is the mind that we're dealing with. This is the creative writing of the time. Like, that's supposed to be this awesome metaphor. Like, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Oh, that is so awesome. There's not much more I can say about that. It's just that stands on its own merit. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. He loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So love ye therefore the stranger, except for all the strangers who are about to murder and whose land we are about to take. But with the exception of them, love ye therefore the stranger. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, and hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. The end of Deuteronomy 10. And again, nothing has happened. He's just going over what he's already said, and it's getting old. I gotta say, it's getting real old. But hopefully, like I've said the last 20 podcasts, if all of Deuteronomy is like this, it may kill me. It may just end me. I really am not sure I can handle that, because this is getting incredibly dull. But hopefully, he's gotten to the end of his story at least 2 or 3 times now, I think. So hopefully he'll move on to saying anything but just going over stuff. Because anyway, all right, so that's this week. And as usual, you can send me any emails at comments@thomasinthebible.com if you want. Any questions you have, or comments or anything, I'll probably read and answer if you want. I'll go onto the website and comment on something. Or go on to iTunes, like I said before, and write a review. I really, really appreciate it. And tell your atheist friends. So thanks, everyone, and I'll see you for the next episode.